Talking with TD.
Touchdown Tennessee.
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up with shut up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
1025 The Game.
Here we go. Yes, yes. You are now talking with TD. I'm your host, Teron Davenport. We are well into the offseason. We got OTAs going on. Got to see the voluntary portion of that. The veterans and the rookies on the field. What a great experience to be able to do that. Got David James over there making it happen.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we're going to bring it to you today. Run TMC, obviously, with Chris Sanders, Forever Titans receiver. Get into a little bit about Kevin Byard, Christian Fulton, Treylon Burks. I think it's only right to talk about those guys. And we'll have Ben Arthur of Fox Sports. I almost said NBC Sports. He is of Fox Sports. He is the AFC South reporter for that organization. So we'll get into some things with him, kind of go around the division and get his take. He was there along with myself at practice on Tuesday. I want to open up with just some of the things that stood out to me about practice and what we got to see. Obviously, you have Malik Willis, Will Levis, and Ryan Tannehill there. It's going to be interesting watching that whole dynamic, how that's going to play out. The quarterback room is three's company, right? And obviously, you have the rule that passed, which will allow a quarterback to be active, a third quarterback, that is, to be active on game day. It doesn't give you an extra roster spot, so to speak, as far as within the 53-man, but within the game day roster or actives, it does give you that. So you have 46 guys that could be active. I think when you look at the Titans and just kind of what they have going on, I personally would have Malik Willis up before a guy back end of the roster that may be on special teams. And we know how the coverage unit has been limited with the new fair catch rule. So some of those cover guys that you would normally have on the teams, you probably don't need to have on them as much just because of how the rules have changed, you know, which will reduce the amount of kickoffs that you have. So that coverage unit is not as important. But I don't want to harp on that. I want to point out a few things from getting to watch these guys at practice on Tuesday. And the first thing I'm going to point out is Jeffrey Simmons, right? And he signed a $94 million deal, extension. And his future is clearly secure. We know that there's a lot of money in the front end of the deal, et cetera, et cetera. But here we are, voluntary workouts. Jeffrey Simmons is there. And let me tell you something. Not only was he there and he took part in some of the team reps there, but they're out there kicking field goals. And I'm standing on the sideline, and I look on the other sideline, and who do I see over there running wind sprints? Jeffrey Simmons. And it was pretty cool because after one of them, I saw him look over to the rookie receivers. It was Copeland out of Maryland and Kiaris Jackson out of Georgia. And I saw him look over there. I don't know what he said to them, but I saw him look at them and he kind of bobbed his head. And then he went and got his next sprint in. Jeffrey Simmons is a leader. And it's great to see that. And I wanted to ask him just, you know, here you are. It's not mandatory for you to be here. Why is it so important for you to come? So here's Jeffrey Simmons on that.
I wouldn't even say just condition. I think at this point, you know, the condition phases that we've been through, of course, this offseason, you want to be in shape, you want to get in shape. But like Coach said today, you know, early on when the guys was here during the first phase of OTAs and stuff like that, that's the condition part. Then it's come with the technique. Now we're on the field. So I think my thing is just getting my feet back in the ground. You know, it's been, you know, a while since I've been healthy. Been a while since I felt myself. Just being able to go out there and, you know, work on the bag, work with Coach G and the individual. Then, you know, gets a cup of team reps. I think that's big for me. But, you know, when we talk about just me being here, you know, this is what I love to do. I love the game of football. And I think when you trying to build your team, your championship, trying to build a championship team, this is where it starts at. And, you know, being here is important to me. Getting healthy is important. I'm not all the way there yet. That's why I'm kind of working my way back into it now. So, like I said, just getting back on the field with them guys, you know, is, I feel good just to be back out there with them. And I think that, like I said, that's where you build your team, you know, the standard. When we talk about the standard, when they see me out there with the guys, you know, I think it means something to our team that, you know, even when I'm rehabbing or just out there running to the ball or whatever it may be, doing the pursuit drill we did today, I think just shows what we're about here in Tennessee. No matter who you are, you know, that's how we want some, we want people who are going to buy into our standards.
So you heard what he had to say just as far as what he's looking to do, right? It's conditioning. Obviously, that's something that they've done leading up to this point. But now it's to further that, but also it's to work his way back. He said he's not 100% back from the ankle injury. And that's something that we know he'll continue to get in. He and his brother, right, Dylan Bradley, who played for the Vikings. He was in camp with the Vikings. You know, those guys, we watched them on Instagram. Man, they're moving some weight. So Simmons is clearly putting in that work. But that's one leader on the defense that we know is there. And he's one of the two leaders. The other leader, in my opinion, is Kevin Byard. And obviously, Byard wasn't there. Here's Jeffrey Simmons on Byard as a leader, because although he said it was important for him to be there, he had no qualms about Kevin Byard not being there. Here's Jeffrey Simmons on Byard.
I mean, I know KB reached out to these guys. I'm sure they're in a group message, just like when I was rehabbing, I went out there with them guys. We in a group message. I'm sure they talked to KB outside of the building. Even, you know, Gary's got that. I'm sure he talked to Todd and guys like that. When we talk about leadership, we don't. It's not about just what everyone sees. You know, we not just on the field. KB is a leader, not just the stuff he do on the field. You know, even with the charity thing, he do, like, it's guys that, you know, he probably didn't even know was coming, and they showed up. So I think that's how much we respect KB as a leader. We know how much he means to his team. Guys respect KB, even the guys who haven't met KB personally in person yet. I'm sure he didn't reach out to them guys. Like I said, they didn't group mesh and stuff like that. So, I mean, I know how much he means to this team with his leadership and his play. You know, I'm sure I see him posting when he's working out. So we know he's working hard, and, you know, mini camp in 2 weeks. So I'm sure he'll be here for mini camp.
All right, so now we're going to follow that up, right? Because Mike Vrabel, the head coach, and we know he's a guy that's, you know, it's kind of my way or the highway kind of approach. But that being said, he's also a player's coach, right? And he really made it clear there's no worries about Byard not being there. He said he saw him on the golf course, and he knows that Byard will be ready to go when minicamp starts, right, the mandatory portion of it. I'm not going to put words in Mike Vrabel's mouth. We're going to let Mike Vrabel speak for himself. Here's Mike Vrabel.
I mean, there have been years where KB hasn't been here. You know what I mean? I know KB's working hard, and we're staying in contact with him, and, you know, book meets with him on Zoom and get the installation. And if we're concerned about KB and his level of fitness and commitment, that's not a concern. I mean, he has a family, and he's an established player, and we would want him all here, but it's voluntary. And there were... told these guys. There were years where I didn't go to New England. He didn't communicate. He's communicated. And so I'm very, very confident that, you know, when KB comes back, he'll be in shape and he'll be ready to go and he'll know what to do and he'll be the same great teammate that he always is.
So obviously, right, there's an understanding that Kevin Byard will be ready to go. As you heard Jeffrey Simmons and even, you know, Shane Bowen, the defensive coordinator, he also said that it is important for Byard to be there just from a leadership perspective. He understands that it's a business, but he also mentioned that Kevin Byard is on the Zooms with the safeties coach, right? You know what I mean? So that's being taken care of. He said that, you know, Jeffrey Simmons said that he's on the group chats with, you know, the different DBs, right? And safeties coach, Scott Booker, you know what I mean? Chris Harris is a coach there. He's the new DB coach. Let me tell you something real quick about Chris Harris. You talk about energy. It was really refreshing watching him during practice. Any big play the DBs had or anything near, like good coverage period, man, there was one guy that you definitely heard, and that was Chris Harris. So you like the energy, right? It's kind of getting back to what you saw with Kerry Coombs. But I think you amp it up just a little bit. I'm going to look forward to watching that DB group. But nevertheless, Kevin Byard is a guy that wasn't there. I don't think it's a big issue with him not being there, right? And you got Sean Murphy Bunning, who is in the mix, and you know, he's getting some work. Mike Vrabel, and Elijah Molden, they both mentioned Molden playing in the safety position, the back half of the defense. Now, if you guys remember when we had Molden and a few of his teammates, you know, Keith Taylor, Joe Tryon, and Levi Onwuzurike, we had them all on Talking with TD when they were coming out of Washington. That's one of the things I talked to Elijah about was his versatility, how he was able to play the safety position at times for Washington. This is just spinning it back to what he did in college. And, it, you know, in fact, there were times where he didn't necessarily line up at safety during the year, but, you know, they used that inverted look and he would rotate back into that safety position, that too high kind of look. So you did have that at times. So this isn't something that's completely brand new, but it's something that's interesting because now you're seeing him work on that part of the defense. And it's one of those things where it's like the more you could do, and that's exciting for Molden, right, to find different ways to get him on the field. If he can stay healthy, he's definitely going to be a contributor. So you like to see that. And shout out to Elijah Molden for those things. And I think, you know, defense remains what we would expect it to be. Christian Fulton, you know, he wasn't there. You had Roger McCreary, he was, and he's been, you know, getting that work in during the offseason. Christian Fulton not being there, ladies and gentlemen, listen, although he probably should have been there for those two workouts, right, the voluntary ones, it wouldn't have hurt him. I will say this, and I know, you know, from talking to sources, he is getting a lot of work in. He was down in Miami, right, working with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. A guy by the name of David Alexander, he trained those guys. And if you remember when LeBron was going through the hamstring issues and soft tissue stuff, he was the guy that trained LeBron to help him work through that and push it aside. And that was something that, you know, he put behind him. And that's something that obviously Christian Fulton is looking to do. And I'll say this, right? I think it's important to mention this because, you know, there were so many times where I remember being in the locker room, right? And Chris would come in and he would have that sleeve on his whole leg and ice and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, there were times where I wanted to talk to Chris, but I couldn't because he was late coming into the locker room because he was where? Getting treatment and doing extra rehab. That young man has put in the work last year. Now, obviously, you know, there were issues with the injury, the groin, you know, when he had that contact with A.J. Brown on that touchdown. There were definitely times where you would obviously have liked to have seen him on the field. But I don't think that injury was due to not putting the work in. I don't believe that. So I feel like Fulton has gotten a bad rap, and I'm not going to be the one to give him that. Now, does he need to get on the field more? Absolutely. This is his fourth year, contract year. Does he need to be on the field and be a consistent football player? Without a doubt. Chris knows that. I'm curious how that's going to work out. But this secondary as a whole, they have a chance to obviously improve. Caleb Farley wasn't there during OTAs, but we know he had the late injury, and it hasn't been reported that he's not in the building. He's been working with the trainers, so let's reserve judgment there. He is injured and working to come back. I think overall the OTAs was a good experience to be able to just see these guys working together. Tajay Spears, I'm going to continue to mention him, and he has that acceleration, man, and you're seeing him catch the football well. And the thing I like about the way he catches the football is he catches it and goes immediately. That's what you call easy gas, a guy that can hit that gear quickly, and that's what he does. So I've been impressed with that. Traylon Burks looks really good just from a stature standpoint. I really like how he just, I'm not going to say transformed his body, but he looks a lot more streamlined. He's almost built like a deer now. You know, that's something that I joked with my intern that was with me, Nigel. I joked with him. I said, man, this guy's built like a deer, you know, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing because as a receiver, you have to continue to run and run and run, and we're going to see him have to do that. So there's going to be a lot pressed upon him, right? And, you know, you got to see a few of the guys, you know, Chris Moore, we got to see him in uniform for the first time. So it was pretty cool watching these guys. I got to talk to Malik Willis afterwards a little bit, and You know, it was interesting what he had to say as far as the competition is concerned. He was like, what competition? Matter of fact, here's Malik Willis. Listen to what he said about, you know, bringing Will Levis in and how he's approaching it. Here you go right here.
What is your mindset approaching, you know, this season, knowing, you know, Levis got drafted? It's a big offseason training camp for you. How are you approaching this, this period?
I mean, what does knowing that change, you know? You go to work the same way. It don't matter.
Reaction when you realize there'll be a little more competition in the quarterback room this year?
I mean, is it? You know, it's the same amount of competition. You're competing against yourself every day. You don't go competing against guys. You don't go looking over your shoulder. You just try to get better, bro.
So, I mean, pull from that what you want. I mean, he said that he's just going to work to get better each day. I think it's going to be a competition, and we'll see how that all that works out. It's going to be tough, right? Because, you know, you're trying to get your starting quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, acclimated to a new offense and the terminology and anything. And then on top of that, you got a rookie quarterback that is the quarterback of the future. You're trying to get him developed and get him into the mix. And then you got this guy, Malik Willis, who you're trying to develop also. So the Ryan Tannehill, Malik Willis, Will Levis saga will continue. We'll keep you updated on that. We're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll be right back with Run TMC.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Oh, there go the strings. All right, the music fades and the lights dim. Where are we going to go? We're going to go to the Boston Garden. And now, starting at center for your Boston Celtics, number 00, Robert Parrish. The Chief!
Oh, man. And now, singing Say You See Me, Lionel Richie.
He said, hello? Is it me you're looking for?
Hey, he had that Jeff Fisher mustache, too, man. Just there.
He did have the just Jeff Fisher mustache. And he looked in the mirror, told me hello, with the collar popping. Underneath the sweater.
And then he had that mini afro, man.
mini Gerald Carroll afro, man.
Man, what's going on with you? How's everything going with you, bro?
Hey, man, everything is great, man. You know, I'm definitely upbeat. It was awesome to get to watch these guys at practice on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Good opportunity to see all the veterans out in the field. You got, you know, all the guys out there. Well, most of the guys out there, man. Traylon Burks out there doing what he does. And Kyle Phillips out there, and the quarterback situation, Malik Willis, you know, giving us these mysterious answers. And it was pretty cool, man. It was definitely good to get back in the mix. But I will say this. I want to shout out my young boy, Nigel Lanier, who is a wide receiver. He was a wide receiver at Tennessee. He transferred to Grambling.
Okay.
And he's going to be playing in his first year at Grambling this year. He spent 2 years at Tennessee as a volunteer receiver. But he came out to practice with me. He's a communications major, you know, so he wanted to tag along, and we were able to make that happen. And I was really appreciative of Rand Carthon. You know, Rand, after practice, came over, and he talked to him for a good 10 minutes or so and just gave him encouragement, right? And then after Mike Vrabel's press conference, you know, I stopped Coach Vrabel and, you know, hey, Coach, let me introduce you to somebody. And he went over and, you know, shook Nigel's hand and was like, hey, man, you know, you're looking to do this. And Nigel said, yes, I'm looking to, you know, have a career in journalism. And he said, well, make sure you play football a little bit longer.
Hey, but you know what's so cool? Because that was the buzz that came out of the 49ers camp. That Rand Carthon, he speaks to everybody, to the janitor, to the people who work there.
Yeah.
Because when you talk about, you know, a guy that builds people, that brings people together, you got to communicate with people. That's one of his best assets, is communicate with people that a lot of people don't communicate with. So I take my hat off to him. I take it to Mike Vrabel and the people that let him in the building.
Great he does an excellent job of communicating with everybody. And I guess, you know, that's where we could start off, because obviously, you know, this situation with Kevin Byard is very interesting, right? Kevin Byard was not at OTAs. Again, it's voluntary OTAs. But it's something that obviously as a leader of the team, you want him there. Mike Vrabel said that there's no worries. They believe when he comes to mandatory minicamp, everything will be fine. But, you know, when you look at that whole situation, obviously Rand Carthon came to him about the pay cut, right? And there was a decline and a back and forth right through the media, you know, where some had said that he requested a trade, which he never did. And here we are, voluntary OTAs. He's not there. Coach Vrabel has said that there were times where he wasn't there in the past, but honestly, I don't remember, but you know, I'll go with the coach on that one. But what is your overarching thought on this Kevin Byard not being there for voluntary OTAs?
You know, he's a leader of that defense. I mean, if you look at last year, you know, I love everything he did. He was committed to everything he did. Because you remember that situation with, I think they're playing the Cowboys, and everybody was hurt, and he was hurt a little bit, and everybody was expecting everybody to sit out. But the leader that he was, he said, I don't care if I'm hurting. I don't care what I need to do. I'm playing this game, and had one of the best seasons of his life. I mean, best games of his life. So, you know, it just shows you this guy's committed. So we have a situation to where this is out of character of Beyer, because if you look at the last years before that, he was consistently there. He was in practice. He was in shape. So when he's out of character and he doesn't show up, that's the thing that I'm really concerned about.
Yeah, the good thing is we know that he will be in shape. He's working out, and he's a guy that Jeremy Holt, you know, over there at Lipscomb, they work out there with Roger McCreary too, and George Kittle. It's a bunch of NFL guys that they work out together. Right. Jeremy Holt has a good group. So we know he's getting work in. I just want to see, you know, how that kind of continues to carry out. If there's a theme, if there's tension, I'm curious about that. I asked Jeffrey Simmons about the whole situation as far as just like why it's important for him to be there. And that was not in a way to get a slight at Kevin Byard at all. I just, you know, Jeff signed a $94 million deal.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? You still see that guy there on voluntary part of OTAs. And not only there, but when they're on field goal, he's running wind sprints on the sideline. Yeah. I was really impressed by that. You know, so I wanted to say, Jeff, you know, what is it that's important to you about this? And he talked about that. And then he was asked about Byard. And the thing that I like is he pointed to the way Byard has so much respect from the veterans. And he said there's more to his leadership than just what you see on the field. You know, and I think that's important for us to understand.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a great point. It's kind of like this. Just imagine I had a Lamborghini and I put tennis shoes on it. I mean, when I say tennis shoes, I put some rims on it. I shine it up and now it's all glossed up. But if I don't have the battery, that car's not going to run, even though the car looks pretty. The reason why I say that situation is because you have a great defense. You got Landry that's coming back. You got Simmons is there. You got Audrey. You got a defense that looks pretty. But the guy that runs that defense is Kevin Byard, because he gets out of calls, he gives the guys a signal, and he puts guys in position to succeed. So if you don't have him in OTAs and voluntary camp, then you miss that voice of directing, that voice of making sure guys are in the right place, because you got a lot of young guys that are coming in that don't know what to do, and that voice would help those guys make sure they get in the right position.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I mean, it's just crazy because, like, I just happened to come across, you see some of these national outlets saying, hey, you know, Kevin Byard is skipping because of being asked to take a pay cut. There's tension. There's this, that. And I firmly believe that once the mandatory part kicks in, Kevin Byard is the extreme professional. Things will go as planned. And I think that's a good situation.
But what if he's not there, TD? What do you do? I mean, you know that if he doesn't show up, then something's going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, I believe he's going to show up. But if he doesn't, I mean, they've already kind of worked some things into place, right? You got Elijah Molden working at the safety spot opposite Amani Hooker. It's a business, and unfortunately, you know, life has to go on. That's really
the
way it works, right? The show doesn't stop for one pony, you know, so.
Yeah.
You hate to see that for the Titans' sake, but I do believe that Byard will be there. But, I mean, we're talking about not holdouts, but, you know, not reporting. Another guy who didn't show up is Christian Fulton. You know, what are your thoughts about him not being there as well?
You know, he needs to be there. And when I say he needs to be there, because if you look at last year, he started off fast, but then all of a sudden he was getting, you know, kind of burnt a couple of times. But also he struggled with staying on the field because he was inconsistent of getting hurt. So, you know, if I was him, I don't have the respect of the league to do those kind of things. I'm not saying something may have came up. He might have had a family situation. I'm not saying that. But if I want to be in the league corner, if I want to be a guy that's gonna shake the league, then I got to be willing to do those little things. What are the little things? When they say be a voluntary, you know, minicamp, then I'm going to be the first person in the door as opposed to not showing up. It's just, if you want to be great, if you want to do the little things, I mean, if you want to be great and you want to show that you can be a shutdown corner, you got to prove it with the little things, and the little things are being like a voluntary camp.
Yeah, well, I know that he's in Miami, and he's working out in Miami. LeBron James, his trainer, David Alexander, is okay. The guy he's working with. But I do think, hey, listen, you know what? You could come up for the OTA portion of voluntary, but I know he'll be there for the mandatory part.
Can I say something on that? I didn't mean to interrupt you, because this is kind of a point that I want to make also. Look at the situation with Treylon Burks. Treylon Burks' flight was canceled. He had to catch a flight that was dangerous. Dangerous. Put him in harm's way. Then all the rental cars were all out.
Mm-hmm.
But he found a way to be in voluntary camp. So it means something to him. I'm not saying it doesn't mean something to Fulton, but last year, Burks came in with a bad taste in his mouth. You're out of shape. You know, you can't stay healthy. So he has a lot to prove. So what I'm saying is with Fulton, he's a great talent, but he has a lot to prove, TD.
Yeah, he does have a lot to prove. And shout out to Paul Kaharsky with that post, you know, with that information.
Yeah.
That was a great, great scoop on his part. I do think it would be good for Fulton to be there, especially considering, you know, you got Sean Murphy Bunting, who's now in the mix. And as I said, right, you know, Elijah Molden, because of the surplus at corner, is getting work at safety. And you got McQuarrie working inside. And there's just a lot going on. And you know, well, McQuarrie is an option working inside. Of course, Shaheem Carter is an option also. So there's a lot in the mix there. I think Fulton, it would benefit him. But about Treylon Burks, right, you look at him, I will say seeing him, there's a different confidence with him, right, a different bounce with him, different, even his body composition. He looks the part even more. I want to kind of dig into the mental side of it, though, because a lot of people don't understand, even though we're talking about supremely talented individuals, mental part. Like when you have that mental confidence, there's just something different that you could achieve. Open up a little bit about that.
Yeah, but the key word is determination. I mean, you gotta have an edge and determination. And I want to go back to, you know, him having the adversity of trying to get here for voluntary. Even he could have sat down and said, you know what, man, I'll catch him on the next day and this and that, and I'll let Coach Vrabel know that I'll be there. But he was determined to be there. Now flip that to the football side. When you have the mindset that I'm determined that when it's third and two, I'm getting the ball. When it's third and five, tell Tannehill or Will Levis to get me the ball because I want to be that playmaker. So I love the mentality. I love the attitude. And it starts by doing those little things. What are the little things? I got adversity. Now I got to overcome adversity by facing this situation. Down with the football situation. I have a little tweak in my hamstring. I got a little tweak in my ankle. I got a broken finger. You know, something's wrong with my shoulders, but I'm determined that when it's third and five, I don't care what my adversity looks like, give me the ball because it's mine. That's the different attitude that I see with this cat.
Yeah, and another guy that will have that approach and that had it before he got injured was Kyle Phillips. I want to ask you because it's, you know, there's a lot of back and forth about it. Does he necessarily have to gain weight to be able to make himself more durable?
You know what? My son was small, but he was a playmaker. CJ Sanders, he played for Notre Dame and he played for SMU. If you make plays, it ain't going to be in the stats and say, well, he was 5'8", 140 pounds. It's just going to say touchdown. But I agree with you. It's on both sides that you may need to get a little bulk just to take the punishment. But at the end of the day, if he can keep making plays, that's going to take care of itself. Because if you look at the first game that the Tennessee Titans played, when it was for the Tennessee Titans to have a chance to win a game against the Giants, who were they throwing? Who was Tannehill throwing the ball to?
Yeah, it was Kyle Phillips.
and he's a what, rookie? That yeah. means that he trusts you to make plays. So he's a playmaker. He's just got to figure out a way to be available and not get injured.
Yeah, and my thing is, like, I don't think he needs to add the weight just to be more
no,
durable.
No, man,
because you look at the injuries, right? Like, I don't care if right. it's – if it's a guy, you know, the size of David Boston or the guy the size of Kyle Phillips.
You, he was swole.
Yeah, he was. You, yeah. fall on your shoulder, like, it doesn't
Absolutely.
Matter. And even hamstring, no. that's not a size thing, the hamstring injury.
No.
So I think when you look at that, these aren't size-related injuries as far as, like, the things that kept him out. These are things that happen regardless of what your stature is.
You know, but when you look at when he was in college, he didn't get hurt that much.
Yeah.
It's just, I know the NFL is bigger and faster, but the thing about it is those are just things that happen. Listen, this guy is a punt returner, so that means he can take on the physical. It just happened that he fell on his shoulder and hurt his shoulder. Now, you can do some things. You can do push-ups and get swole like TD, but at the end of the day, he's going to make some plays.
Yeah, you can get swole like me, but, you know, you get swole like me, they're going to start coming at you, so you better watch yourself.
Hey, watch out. That's what's up, man.
Last thing before we get out of here, T.R. Tart, he is a guy who he didn't sign his tender. He clearly signed some type of waiver or something to be out there. What do you make of him not being, quote unquote, under contract, but still being there at voluntary OTAs?
It just shows you that he wants to win, even though it's a business side of, he said, okay, I'm going to take care of the business side, but I'm going to sign a waiver to make sure I'm still part of this team. But it just shows you that guys are committed. And the reason why I say he's committed, because those are the guys that Rabel wants. He wants guys that are committed, that love football, and that are going to be available. And with this guy, even though the business side of it isn't taken care of all together, but on the physical side, he can control what he can control. And that's what I love about this situation.
Yeah. And, well, he signed.
That's sweet, man.
He signed Rosenhaus and them, so obviously he's looking to get some money. So, yeah, well, next week we're going to have another practice to break down.
Yeah.
I believe that's going to be the mandatory part of it, so looking forward to that. I believe it's going to be mandatory. I could be mistaken. But at some point we're going to get to that. But we're going to see them on the field next week. That's
absolutely. You know. But before I go, man, you know, me and my daughter, we was watching TV, right? And the Love Boat came on. And she's like, Daddy. She's like, Daddy, that looks like TD. I was like, no, baby, that's Isaac. It's like, man, they look alike. I said, no, baby, that's TD.
We got the same mustache.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
That's right, back from the break, talking with TD. We're going to keep this thing rolling. Hey, man, it's always good to use the phone a friend feature, so that's what we're going to do. I got Ben Arthur, who is Fox Sports' AFC South reporter. You can find his work on foxsports.com and the Fox Sports app, or you can follow him on social media at Ben YARTHUR. Ben, what's going on, man?
TD, my guy. How's everything going?
Everything is great, man, and I wanted to bring you on because it's always good to get another set of eyes and some of the feedback from what you saw on Tuesday. I know we can't get too deep in the woods about what we saw, but I know what I saw, and that was, you know, the GM come over there and compliment you on the Crenshaw shirt and talk a little shop with you. That's really dope with Rand Carthen. I love the way Rand makes sure that he mixes with us, and I think that's really important for him to do. So I definitely got to shout out him and you, you know, being able to have that relationship.
Yeah. No, Rand is great. I mean, he's super personable just from the interactions I've been able to have with him since he took on the job. And it really falls in line, like, with a feature I did on him around the time he got the job. I talked to a whole bunch of execs around the league, and everything that I've kind of noticed in my interactions with him is kind of what they were telling me, just the authenticity. And we know that whole collaborator word that has been used a lot, but I think just in what we've seen between him and Vrabel to this point, he's really lived up to that, and he really feels like a genuine dude. Like, he's not just all football all the time. Like, he's willing to really just chop it up with you, see how you're doing, check in, and so he's a really good dude.
Yeah, without a doubt, you're 100% right there. I want to kind of, because that being said, right, obviously Kevin Byard not being there at OTAs, the whole pay cut thing, and that's something that Rand had to kind of smooth over with the press, because there was a report, erroneous one though, that he had asked for to be traded, right? And obviously, you know, that's not the case. But what do you make of Kevin Byard not being there at OTAs?
Yeah, it is. I mean, as one of it kind of stands out, right? Because he was like the only like primary leader of the team who's not there, right? Like Ryan Tannehill's there, Derek is there, and we know in the last couple years, as I remember it, like he hadn't been at OTAs or at least early on, but he was there this time. Jeff Simmons, who was kind of holding in last year, he was there. And then kind of the fourth of kind of the leaders is Kevin Byard, and he's not here. And in previous years, like he has been. And so it does kind of stand out a lot. Obviously, OTAs are voluntary, and so it's not a huge deal at this moment, but it is just kind of just surprising when you do have kind of the leadership, all the other leaders on this team there and coming off of the year the Titans had, just kind of a catastrophic end to the year, needing to turn that page and kind of get back on track, and KB isn't there. But look, I mean, we know that Kevin Byard is kind of the utmost professional, like he carries himself the right way. He's going to make sure his body is right. And as Shane Bowen was telling us, like whenever he does show up, he's going to be ready to go. But it does kind of remain to be seen how kind of that situation plays out. I do know that kind of KB's kind of stance hasn't changed. I had talked to a source around the time that kind of the reports were coming out about kind of the pay cut. And, you know, I mean, KB loves Nashville, right? He wants to be a Titan for life or for the rest of his career. And so it's kind of in the Titans court almost, right? Like you ask him to take a pay cut that really isn't warranted, right? Because of his play. Like he's still extremely elite, one of the best at his position, even as he's gotten older and he never misses time. But then you also kind of understood the Titans and Rand's perspective and needing to cut costs. So I'm just kind of fascinated to see kind of how the Titans try to smooth this over. From everything Mike Vrabel was saying, he didn't kind of give off the indication that it's going to be kind of, it's kind of like the relationship is kind of strained in any way. He seemed really comfortable with his conversations with KB, but I guess as we kind of move forward, it's just going to be something to watch as kind of the Titans look to, kind of move forward kind of with this new era with Rand Carthon and kind of mixing the youth with the older players they have and kind of see where the direction of this team goes in 2023.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the big story, right? Kevin Byard and how that's going to go forward. And we're talking to Ben Arthur, Fox Sports' AFC South reporter. You can find his work on foxsports.com and the Fox Sports app, or you can follow him on social media at Benny Arthur. Ben, I want to get your take on this receiver group, right? You got to see those guys out there. Treylon Burks clearly looks like he's a different version of himself from last year. What do you make of the overall receiver position and how they could have an impact?
Yeah, I think, as you said, Treylon is going to step up this year, like really rise to the occasion. You mentioned kind of the way he looks. I mean, he definitely looks slimmer. Looks like he's in better shape. I think he's going to be the number one receiver that the team needs. As far as everything behind him, I'm still really not sure at this point. Yeah. I mean, they don't kind of watching the guys. I mean, they don't really have any burners. Like they don't really have that speed. I mean, they have guys who could win with kind of that first or second step, but kind of watching the routes on air and stuff like that, I think they still don't really have kind of that speed that I thought they would have would have kind of looked to bring in the pitcher in the off season. I do think Colton Dowell is really promising, kind of a seventh round pick. I mean, you don't know, I guess, what his role will be and probably be more of a special teams guy, but he has the size, he has athleticism. You look at kind of those athletic numbers, like the, what is it, the RAS, the relative athletic score, that metric that sums up the kind of the height, length, vert, all those things. I mean, he tested really well on that. And I think in a lot of the drills, his speed kind of flashed. So I am kind of curious to see how he kind of develops and making that transition from a smaller school like UT Martin, how long it'll take to kind of get acclimated to kind of this speed and physicality of the NFL. But yeah, I mean, it's still a lot of unknowns with this group, right? We talked to Chris Moore on Tuesday, and I think it was you who had asked him just kind of about the perception of the room, and
yeah,
and it's really going to be about like how much they win, right? But it's just on paper, it's really hard to, if you're kind of looking on the outside, it's really hard to kind of draw a lot of optimism. I think if you're a fan of this team, I think you kind of bank on Kyle Phillips staying healthy, and we kind of know what he was last off season and in training camp. I mean, he was killing DBs and all the drills and the joint practices and whatnot. And so I think he could be good as long as he stays healthy. And I know he's gotten a little bit bigger. Chris Moore can add something. I think they're going to have to rely on the tight ends a lot. And I think starting with Chiga Okonkwo, he's going to be a guy that statistically might be their number two receiver just in terms of receptions and whatnot. And honestly, I think Tyjae Spears, as a running back, he's going to be a pass-catching option for them. I think outside of receiver, they're really going to need those running backs and tight ends to help with that passing game.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you about. And I was just going to say Tyjae Spears and just say, hey, look, you tell me about him, because I don't want to seem like I'm provoking you to say positive things, but what have you seen?
Yeah, I think Tyjae Spears, I mean, as a pass catcher, he really flashed in the OTA we saw on Tuesday. We can't comment, obviously, on kind of specifics of routes and stuff like that, but his ability to get open downfield stood out. I know at Tulane that wasn't really his role, and we kind of saw his abilities as a runner, which are, you know, phenomenal. He has great vision. I think he's really good at kind of those subtle cuts and whatnot, and his vision is great. But I think as a pass catcher, especially with Derrick Henry still on this team, that they're going to kind of need a change of pace guy, someone who kind of needs to fill that Dontrell Hilliard role of catching balls out of the backfield, being that secondary rushing option. I think Tyjae Spears can be that guy. And I think I was standing next to you when we were kind of watching him, and he just kind of finishes everything, right? Yeah, I think coaches love it when a guy finishes their route or their run and goes all the way to the end zone or really finishes it hard. And I think I saw that from him. And so I think he's going to be a fan favorite. I know probably of the draft picks, he was probably the one that folks, Titans fans maybe didn't like the most, just because it's a third round running back who doesn't have an ACL reportedly in one of the knees. But I think he could be a really explosive weapon for them in out of the backfield.
Without a doubt. And last thing before we get you out of here, your take on this quarterback situation. Do you think Ryan Tannehill starts the whole year? Where do you think Malik Willis ends up? When do you think Will Levis plays, if he does this year? What's your take on all of that?
Yeah, it's obviously the topic to discuss, right? It's the kind of headline discourse around this team. I mean, for now, Tannehill is the starter. The way I see it kind of playing out in my head is Ryan Tannehill starting out as a starter, and then the year maybe not going out, like turning out as the team hoped, and then the team looking to kind of their future, right? We know Derrick Henry's in his last year of his contract, mm-hmm. Tannehill, you know, some other older guys who might be transitioning out. I could see a situation where Will Levis could take the reins around midseason. That is, if he continues to develop and pick up the offense, earn the trust of the coaches, everything that he'll need in terms of boxes to check, as long as he kind of follows that trajectory, I could see that happening. I think with Malik Willis, he's kind of been caught in a tough situation, right? Because last year, I think we all knew the raw prospect that he was, but he was kind of thrown into the fire with what was a terrible offensive line and a bad receiving core. And so you have a raw quarterback plus those two factors not really being put in a position to succeed, and you struggle. And not that it was not just – it was partly on him too, right? Like he wasn't maybe totally ready for that role when Tannehill got hurt. But he was put in a tough situation, and the Titans have Levis who is kind of high on their board, and you take a swing on a guy who many had going in the first round and who Rand Carthon said would have been in the conversation at number 11 had Peter Skowronski not been there. And mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just don't see the Titans keeping three quarterbacks. Like mm-hmm. I don't know. I think as long as Tannehill is on this team, I think it's Tannehill and Will Levis. I mean, we know that Vrabel hasn't, the Titans haven't typically kept three quarterbacks, and certainly that could change if Willis shows enough promise, but I think as long as Tannehill is on the roster, I think it's him and Levis. Like, you have to prioritize the development of the quarterback who you essentially have first round value for, right? And I don't know, could Malik be traded or something? I don't know. I mean, maybe that's on the table, but I don't know, like justifying three spots at quarterback when this team, especially on offense, could use that extra roster spot at so many other positions. I'm just not sure how it all plays out. But look, I mean, I'm a fan of Malik. I want to see him succeed. I think, like I said, he wasn't really put in a great position for success last season. But with the way the numbers are, it just doesn't look that great for him. So I don't know. We'll see. That's just kind of my two cents. I don't really have a great answer, but it's just going to be fascinating to watch. I think I'm really not going to have a definitive answer until like training camp and preseason games, and we really see what Willis and Levis have. I think if Levis doesn't look the part, I think you're going to have to kind of keep Malik Willis. But if Will Levis looks like he's kind of that guy, and you still have Tannehill, I think those are your two QBs. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be tough seeing how all that plays out. We'll see how this extra game day roster spot works into it as well. If they could pass Willis over to the practice squad, then I'm sure they would love to do that. There's a lot to stay tuned for, and that's just the way that the NFL is, man. So I appreciate you coming on. We'll definitely get back together next week, I believe, when we have another portion of the offseason to see these guys on the field. So, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you continue to check out Ben Arthur. He is Fox Sports AFC South reporter. You can check him on the foxsports.com at BennyArthur.com. And you could even download the Fox Sports app. Ben, I appreciate you.
TD, thank you so much.
For sure. So that was Ben Arthur of foxsports.com. You could definitely make sure you keep checking him out. Man, I always appreciate when I get the fellow beat reporters to come on here and talk some shop, man. He covers the whole division, the AFC South. So stay tuned to him. And, man, we got Chris Sanders getting into it, talking a little bit about Treylon Burks and Kevin Byard and Christian Fulton and all of that, everything going on, man. There's a lot popping with this Titans offseason. A lot of stories. So definitely make sure you continue to stay tuned with us, man. Appreciate each of you for tuning in. Definitely appreciate David James for over here making it happen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, yes. So make sure you check us out, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere you find those great listening materials. We are right there. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review. We appreciate you.